Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this Remembrance Day, we pray that you would speak to us from your words. Give us your encouragement and strengthening for the lives that we lead. Amen. War is a paradox. Now, what does a paradox mean? It means where there is almost a contradictory nature to something. One thing means one thing and another means the same or different. War is a paradox. It contradicts itself. Why do I say this? Because war starts when the worst of human behavior is displayed. Fear, greed, pride, hatred, racism. And it is characterized so often by unrestrained violence, brutality, and sheer inhumanity to soldiers and to civilians alike, to men and women, to children and babies. As we remember the names of those killed, war did not distinguish between men and women, between children and adults. And yet war is also full of the best of human behavior: courage, sacrifice, kindness, long-suffering, love. Look at the photo on the inside cover of your order of service. In the midst of the dirt and the squalor of a trench, a soldier tenderly holds his comrades. The paradox of war. Now, it's my privilege to serve as chaplain to the 4th Battalion Parachute Regiment, a regiment whose soldiers, like all soldiers in the British Army, are selected and trained in self-discipline, integrity, courage, respect for others, loyalty. These being the values of the British Army. And I believe, as I'm sure you would agree, they are good human qualities and ones that we would probably all aspire to. And time again, I reflect with those who have served or at least just done national service that those times for them were times of character building, even the best times of their lives. And yet, to what end are we preparing the young men of the 4th Battalion, the Parachute Regiment? Ultimately, they are being trained to kill the Queen's enemies at the end of a bayonet, if necessary. War is a paradox. It brings destruction of property, of ships, of aircraft, of streets, of homes, of churches, of factories. The V2 bomb that killed 4 civilians in their homes just down the road at Redbury Farm. War brings great destruction. But war also brings great creativity and invention. Last month, I was privileged to go and have a tour around Bletchley Park. Now, Bletchley Park was an incredible place that was kept secret through the whole of the war and into the 1970s, where thousands of people worked to decode secret messages from the Germans. And in order to do that, they developed something that we now know as a computer. So we wouldn't have one of these or one of these without the inventions that were spurred on by war. And last week I was in London at the Wellcome Trust, which is a medical exhibition, and it had an exhibition on the development of surgery through the wars, the World War I, World War II, and up to the present day, what surgeons have learned by seeking to care for dangerously wounded soldiers in Afghanistan. So war brings destruction, and creativity. War is a paradox. The last centuries, two world wars took the lives of 57 soldiers, sailors, and airmen from our village, and 4 civilians killed at home. Today is about remembering them, which is why we read their names out, honoring them, and giving thanks. There is, of course, a story behind each of those lives lost, a story to remember, their sacrifice that brought us peace. I do commend to you Jill Hamlin's excellent research on each of the soldiers who died. We have more information on some than others, but the folders are at the back. Do have a look over coffee time. So we today remember and honour the sacrifice they made, and the sacrifice that today military and security service personnel make every day to bring and keep peace. Some of the soldiers from 4 Para today are flying out to Afghanistan this very day to go and join an operation called Optoral, which is there to train and to mentor the Afghan security forces and to help to keep people safe. But we must also appreciate. You see, these people laid down their lives for things that we now so often take for granted. Democracy. How many of us are slightly bored by the Brexit debate? How many of us are not going to bother to vote? The men and women who died in World War II died for just that sort of right. They died for the rule of law, for the equality of all human beings, and at the simplest level, putting the needs and well-being of others before our own needs and well-being. So today, to honour them, let's stop and appreciate all that we have. We live in a world, in a culture, that is full of encouragements to want more, to be dissatisfied with what we have. Why, of course, do we have so much advertising? Today, let's honour their memory by being grateful for what we already have, the simple freedoms of freedom and security. And let's redouble our efforts to pray for and support all those today who are working behind the scenes to bring and maintain peace, to bring a time when, as our reading said, swords will indeed be turned into plowshares, and spears, instead of weapons, into pruning hooks for cultivation. Many of the best things in war are the great acts of heroism displayed by those who, having no regard for their own safety, rescue or protect other people. Our gospel reading today said this: "Greater love have no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Do you know what the average age of a World War II fighter pilot was? Can anybody tell me on the front row? Do you want to have a guess? 17. A bit older than 17, but not much. Yep. It was 20. 20 was the average age of a World War II fighter pilot at the Battle of Britain. And what do you think their life expectancy was at the Battle of Britain? Does anybody know what the life expectancy, in other words, how long a fighter pilot was expecting to live at the Battle of Britain? Anybody want to hazard a guess on the front row? You expect to live. How many more years do you think you expect to live? 50, 60, 70 maybe? Yeah? Well, I hope so. Do you know, for these 20-year-olds, their life expectancy was 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Greater love and sacrifice captured in the immortal words spoken by Winston Churchill in a speech to the House of Commons in August 1940. "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. Now, apparently, Churchill used these words first when he was leaving a bunker at RAF Uxbridge on the 16th of August. He'd been visiting the command centre, and he told his accompanying Major General, Hastings Ismay, "Don't talk to me. I have never been so moved." After several minutes of silence, he said to General Ismay, "Never in the history of mankind has so much been owed by so many to so few." However, in 1954, General Ismay related an anecdote to his publisher. And when he and Churchill were travelling together in a car, Winston rehearsed the speech he was to give to the House of Commons. When he came to the famous sentence, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few," Ismay asked him, "So what about Jesus and his disciples?" "Good old Pug," which was his nickname for General Ismay, said Winston. And he immediately changed the wording to, "Never in the field of human conflict have so many owed so much to so few." So I include and conclude my reflection today with some words about Jesus. Of course, the words "greater love has no one than he lay down his life for his friends" are in fact Jesus' words. "Love each other as I have loved you." Now, Jesus gives us the greatest example of love the world has ever known, because he goes much further than even what he expects of us in these verses. He laid his life down for his enemies, for those who disagreed and argued with him, tried to stone him to death, falsely accused him and had him crucified. But he also died for those who looked on and did nothing. For those who were not even interested in him, being far too busy with their own lives and plans. He died for the atheist, the agnostic, and the believer alike. He died for all. And he died for me, and he died for you. He died so that the sinfulness of war and greed and hatred could be forgiven, so that every murder or indiscriminate collateral death could be forgiven. And he died so that my selfishness and ours could be forgiven. In a moment, we're going to sing the hymn, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, Forgive Our Foolish Ways." And he did that. God loves to forgive. The forgiveness that he offers us is free, but it cost Jesus his life. Have you asked for it yourself? A few verses earlier, Jesus asked his disciples about this death that he would have to face. And he then went on to promise them an amazing thing. He said, "I'm going to heaven to prepare a place for you so that you can come and join me." And this is the second great truth of Christianity, that death is not the end. And on a day like this, where we read out the names of those who died, and that happens in countless places across the country, surely it gives us pause for thought. It is by Jesus rising to life again that we have hope, that we do not need to fear death. Those are the words that countless hundreds of my forebears as army chaplains, speaking to World War II Spitfire pilots, to young men and women every day since then, have spoken. Imagine having a conversation with a young man aged 20 whose life expectancy was 4 weeks. As a Christian minister, what would you say to that man, knowing the reality was that he would be dead very soon? Well, it was their privilege, and it would be my privilege too, to say the same words that would probably have been spoken to them as are spoken to us today. That Jesus died to forgive us, and he rose again to give us hope for life after death. Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to one man. Amen.